Rabbosai, the Alimud of Hilchos Lashon Hara and Chofetz Chaim is as a schus for a fresh lema for Yosef David Chayla B'soch Shalchayli Yisrael B'korev Mamish. So we're learning, we're in Chofetz Chaim Chelek Yud or Klal Yud, the laws of Toyeles, and as we said, because the dinim of Lashon Hara are so severe, therefore, if we're going to give somebody a heter to speak Lashon Hara L'Toyeles, it's got to be within specific definitions. It's got to be very carefully analysed before you actually use the heter. So we've had already 3 out of 7 tanoim in Toyeles. The first one was that you must be sure that the information is accurate, first hand or whatever. The second one is that you have to think a matter through and decide whether or not there's actually been an avla committed. Maybe there's a way of interpreting it that no misdeed took place. And the third one we learned was that you have to give him the first opportunity. Before you start telling other people about what he's done wrong, you have to go to him and you have to see whether or not, unless you're absolutely certain that there's no point in speaking to him, you have to give him the first opportunity in private without embarrassing him, without telling anybody else. You have to give him the first opportunity to put things right and without involving anybody else. Fourth one, again, as I said about all these things, the Chofetz Chaim sets them out as 7 klolim, as 7 rules, but they're very logical. If you stop and think about it, then every one of them that he says is logical, makes sense. In theory, if you sit down and work out the rules of Toyeles, you could do it yourself. So the next one fits here very well, that you're not permitted to exaggerate in any way. When you tell the story to whoever it is that you're telling L'Toyeles, it has to be accurate. You can't embellish it, you can't exaggerate it, you can't tell the story in any different way in order to make it more interesting, more palatable, and you certainly can't, which happens very often, you can't add any personal comments about the person's character. You know, he did this and that because he is an Avarian of some sort or other, or because he comes from a certain background, or because he comes from a certain family, or whatever it is. It's typical for him that he did this sort of thing. Any personal comments, any exaggerations, you just tell it exactly as it is. It has to be accurate. You have to be very careful. So that was rule number 4. Rule number 5, again logical, is that if you've got any personal negia against the person who you're speaking, or against what he does, then you're disqualified from speaking L'Toyeles. An example he gives here is, for instance, that I know that, let's say I'm a baker. Yeah, there's a baker on this side of the road, there's a baker on the other side of the road. And I'm a baker. Obviously, I would like customers to come to me. And I become aware that the baker on the other side of the road is doing something wrong. He's giving short change, or he's not giving the full weight in his large breads. Instead of 750 grams, milligrams, he's giving 700 grams, or something like that. So I'm aware that he's doing an avla, okay? I've seen it myself, I've checked it out, I'm sure that it's an avla. He's doing it in order to save money, but he's swindling his customers. And I don't think there's any point in me, as being the baker over the road, yeah, there's no point in me going to speak to him and telling him, don't cheat your clients. It's not going to work. And maybe I know his character. He's not going to take any notice of me. So then the halacha would be that normally we would say, in that case, I could go to his rov. I could go to the kashrus authority that gives him a license. I could go to somebody, a brother or a father or a sister or somebody who has influence over him, and speak L'Toyeles in order to put him right so that he doesn't swindle his customers. But I've got a negia because I want the customers to come to me. I have a negia in that because I'm trying to put him down in order that my business will do better. If you have any sort of negia whatsoever, then you're disqualified from Toyeles, says the Chofetz Chaim.
Start at the Torahway, Northwest London, Sunday, Ches Tammuz, 14th of July. Rabbi Moshe Baruch Katanka Shlita. Background to the Mishnah Berurah. This week's Torah is a sponsor by family Cantor and Matsuchan Asum of Shlomi Hershon Erioi and Sarah Cantor Shatichia. Cast will take place tomorrow in Mitzashem Bishoto Mutzlachas. Yit Rotzen, Shivnu, Bais, Neemon, Bisrael, the Shem, Lisilo. But it's Hos Hashwem, Bachayulim, Bamilchamoshi, Achsulavota, Hem, Lisholom, Bimheiro.
Amen. Thank you very much. First of all, beautiful Chofetz Chaim Shir, which I just heard. Also, thanks to all the organizers asking me to speak. I want to just say a quick word. You probably heard it before, but I can't resist saying it again. The word shachris, in the morning we come to davening, it's called shachris. Shachris is actually a rosh tevis. It's the order of how people operate in the morning. First you have shachris, is shin. Shin is the shamash. He's the one who comes in first. He opens up the shul. He's the shamash. Then you have the ches. He's the chazan. He's next. He has to be early because he has to daven from the omud. Then you have resh. The rov comes in to make sure everything's organized, everything's okay. Then yud is the minyan. And Tof is afterwards is the Torah, which is learned after davening. So the word shachris really covers the morning, the davening, and then going straight into learning, which is what we are doing here. So I just wanted to have a few interesting horas, which we've discussed over the years. Whenever we learn the Mishnah Berurah, there's a lot of actual halachas which we learn, but there's also bits and pieces a person can pick up on the side. And I've been collecting them for a while, and appreciate the zchus to be able to share these interesting tidbits with you. First of all, very interesting. When a boy came into Reb Chaim Kanievsky and he told Reb Chaim Kanievsky that he's finished the entire Mishnah Berurah and he wants Reb Chaim Kanievsky to test him on it. So Reb Chaim Kanievsky had an interesting test to see if somebody knew the Mishnah Berurah. The test was, tell me, where is the three places that in the Mishnah Berurah that the Chofetz Chaim talks about speaking Lashon Hara? That was the test on Mishnah Berurah. Which three places in Sefer Mishnah Berurah does the Chofetz Chaim talk about not speaking Lashon Hara? So the answer is, once in Hilchas Sukkah, Siman Tov Resh Lamed Tes, in Hilchas Sukkah, the Chofetz Chaim speaks about the importance of speaking properly in the Sukkah and the Kedushas HaSukkah, and he says a person has to be very careful, especially not to speak Lashon Hara in a Sukkah. The other place, the second place, is in Siman Shin Mem Gimel. It talks about how a person has to make sure that children don't do melacha on Shabbos, mustn't give an issa to a child. And he talks in general about ensuring the children speak properly, and especially Lashon Hara, Rechilos, and such and the like. A person has to make sure that his children don't speak Lashon Hara. The third place is in Siman Kuf Nun Vav. Siman Kuf Nun Vav is actually the Siman which discusses Seder Masa Matan. That means once a person's finished davening, he goes to work. And there's a whole siman here discussing the Mishnah Berurah brings from Magen Avraham, all important halachas, day-to-day halachas, which are not found anywhere else, but they're important halachas for business. And in the middle there, he discusses the issa of speaking Lashon Hara. And I want to just share with you the way the Mishnah Berurah here speaks about the oven of Lashon Hara. He says like this. Out of character, because normally the Sefer Mishnah Berurah is halachas, but here he's telling you he can't resist speaking about one of his pet topics of Shmiras Haloshen. Listen to what he says. He says like this. He says, Yesh oven godel adam oed is a very important, severe lav, loshen hara, v'hamasapi beginus chaveri, etc. Somebody speaks badly about his friend, even if it's true. And then he says, at the end, he continues, he says, Uvlav hazeh nimtzu harba halochis, mevorim ba'oirech kama b'kheimis divi rishonim. This lav is discussed at length in different rishonim in different various places. For reitze lamad al kol prosi hadinim. Somebody who wants to learn all the halochas of Lashon Hara, ye'ayin b'sefer Chofetz Chaim, should look at the sefer Chofetz Chaim, kishom yevoyeru kol ha'protim ba'oirech. There all the details are explained. Isn't that gadlus, the way he brings it down? He doesn't say, look at my sefer that I spent years working on called the Chofetz Chaim. Ye'ayin b'sefer Chofetz Chaim. Look at the sefer Chofetz Chaim as if it's like some foreign sefer, as if it has nothing to do with him. Ye'ayin b'sefer Chofetz Chaim. That's quite a gadlus. My wife, Zayda Rabbi Kofnas, who used to daven in the Chofetz Chaim's minyan, he told us that one Friday night, while they were davening in his house, there was some halachic discussion between the Bochur, and they weren't sure how to paskan something. There was something came up, and they went to the Chofetz Chaim to ask him what they should do. Rabbi Kofnas describes how the Chofetz Chaim heard what they said. He said, let's take a look, let's take out the Mishnah Berurah and have a look. The way he said it was like, as if it was nothing to do with him. There's a sefer called Mishnah Berurah, very good sefer. Let's take it out and have a look at the Mishnah Berurah. He said, the gadlus of the Chofetz Chaim. So that is the way Reb Chaim Kanievsky would test people to see if they knew the Chofetz Chaim, if they knew the Mishnah Berurah, he would see if they knew the three places that the Mishnah Berurah discusses Lashon Hara. Another interesting thing in the Mishnah Berurah is that in addition to his Sefer, which is obviously based on the Shulchan Aruch, before you get to the Mishnah Berurah, there's two other Mefarshim at the top of the page. There's the Be'er Heitev. Well, for me it's on this side, the Be'er Heitev, and there's the Shaira Tshuva, but Behetev, Shari Tshuva. There's two prominent Sfarim which he's included in his Sefer. And the Chofetz Chaim was very makpid that although he allowed people to reprint his Sfarim, provided they give 4% of the Sfarim to the Beis HaMedrash, he gave permission in his Savor anybody to print his Sfarim. The plates belong to the family, but anybody who wants to, his own accord, to print the Sfarim can do so, as long as they give a percentage to Beis HaMedrash. But he always wanted the Be'er Heitev and the Shari Tshuva to be on the page. And the reason he wanted it was because he felt the achrayus of writing Halacha Sefer is tremendous. And therefore, if he has at least the Be'er Heitev and the Shari Tshuva, which is already standard, staple, and Mefarshim on the Shulchan Aruch, so even if somebody just has that already he has a solid grounding and a solid explanation on the Shulchan Aruch, and he's fulfilled his obligation. So with regard, firstly, to the Be'er Heitev. Be'er Heitev is really a synopsis of the early poskim, mainly the Mogen Avraham and the Taz and other basic poskim. Rabbi Zinman said an interesting thing about the Be'er Heitev. He said there was once a shaila on a get in a very small town, and there was a question on the get, and they were discussing whether the get is kosher, whether it's posel, and the shaila was sent to Brisk, to Rabbi Simcha Zeli Griger, the Dayan of Brisk. And when he heard the shaila, he said as follows. He says, you know, there's two types of Shulchan Aruch. There's the groyser Shulchan Aruch, you know, the big one, and then there's the kleiner Shulchan Aruch, the small one. The groyser Shulchan Aruch has got the Shulchan Aruch, the Taz, and the Shach, and the Prima Godim, and the Arkit Shuv, and all different forms. But the kleiner Shulchan Aruch just has Shulchan Aruch Behitev. He said, groyser Shtot has a groyser Rav with a groyser Shulchan Aruch. A kleiner Shtot has a kleiner Rav with a kleiner Shulchan Aruch. This is a small town. The small town has a Rav with a small Shulchan Aruch. He didn't have a big Shulchan Aruch. So he said like this, take out Shulchan Aruch in Hilchus Gittin. Learn the Siman which this is relevant to. If when you learn the Siman and the Be'er Heitev, which is all there is in the small Shulchan Aruch, the small Shulchan Aruch has a Shulchan Aruch with Be'er Heitev. If you learn the Shulchan Aruch and the Be'er Heitev and there's no, through that Siman, and you find no reason to say the get is possible, the get is kosher. Because a small Shtot has a rather the small Shulchan Aruch. Even though maybe if you look at all the in the greater Shulchan Aruch, you'll find big points from other Sfarim who discuss this point, and they may say it's no good, but he's not responsible to know. All the Rav in the small Shtot has to know is Shulchan Aruch and Behetiv. If you learn Shulchan Aruch and Behetiv, you find gets kosher, the gets kosher. So Behetiv is a staple. Behetiv is a staple, and that's what we have here in the Behetiv. The Shari Tshuva was written by Reb Chaim Modcha Margulis. Reb Chaim Modcha Margulis was a brother of a more famous Margulis. Everybody knows the Mat Ephraim. The Mat Ephraim is a sefer that everybody gets at least one, if not three, copies of for their bar mitzvah. That and the Meshech Chochmos. Everyone knows the Mat Ephraim. Reb Chaim Zalman Margulis. And he also wrote other sforim. He wrote the Shari Ephraim, which is a must on Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah. The Yad Ephraim, Beis Ephraim, the different sforim. So he was a brother of this Shari Tshuva. This Shari Tshuva is the Reb Chaim Modcha Margulis. He was a brother of the Mat Ephraim, Reb Chaim Zalman Margulis. The Margulis family are all Einiklach of these of this Margulis.
Older or younger?
I'm not sure. But the interesting thing is the Shari Tshuva, Reb Chaim Modcha Margulis, you learn through it, bits and pieces, as you're learning Mishnah Berurah, you'll have a little look at the Shari Tshuva as well. When we were learning Hilchos Pesach, suddenly we were hit very something very strange we saw. The Shari Tshuva says there, Ein Masha Kosavti Besifri Shari Ephraim. Look at what I've written in my Sefer Shari Ephraim. What do you mean? The Shari Tshuva is written by Reb Chaim Modcha Margulis, the brother of the Shari Ephraim, Ephraim Zalman. So why is he saying, look what I wrote in my Sefer, the Shari Ephraim. It's not his Sefer, it's his brother's Sefer. It bothered us a lot, and a few times we kept on noticing, I'm Masha Kosavti B'Sifri. The answer to this is, in the introduction to the Shari, the Shari Tshuva in Hilchos Pesach, Ephraim Zalman Margulis writes an introduction, and he says, my brother, who was working on the Sefer Shari Tshuva till now, Unfortunately, he passed away. And I feel the responsibility that I should take over and complete his sefer from Hilchos Pesach till the end of Aruch Chaim. I'm going to now complete it myself. So Rabbi Ephraim Zalman, the Mata Ephraim, the Shari Ephraim, the Yad Ephraim, actually completed his brother's sefer. So when you hit Hilchos Pesach, Chedek Hei and Chedek Dalet in the Mishmar, from there on, it's actually not anymore the Rabbi Ephraim Modcha Margulis. It actually is the Mata Ephraim. It's the Mata Ephraim himself, Rabbi Ephraim Zalman, who's finishing off the Shari Tshuva. And therefore, you may notice, when you're learning the Shari Tshuva, that in the first four Chalokim, the points are rather... he just quotes a Shaila or a Tshuva, a responsa that he finds, just very briefly, not in much detail. The Shari Tshuva from Chelek Hei and onwards, if you look, is much bigger. The Mata Ephraim, when he's writing the Shari Tshuva, he brings more Tshuvas, and there's more to it, because it's a different author. It's not Rabbi Chaim Modcha, it's now Rabbi Ephraim Zalman. You can actually see in the Shari Tshuva, you can see it yourself, you can see there's a slight difference in the way it's written. There's one page of Mishnah Brura in Siman Tov Mem Ches about Mechilas Chometz, which is a special treat for any Mishnah Brura might could share, because there's no Mishnah Brura at all on that page. The page is just Shari Tshuva. You know, maybe you bump into it, it's a very long page, just Shari Tshuva. There's no Mishnah Brura that day. Michael Sheik goes on holiday. But that page is interesting because it's discussing all different scenarios which are brought in the Poskim where people sold their chometz, and then the goy, either he was found deep in the whiskey somewhere, or the goy took all the whiskey, took it somewhere else, or he wouldn't give it back. All these different shailas. Shaila after shaila after shaila after shaila. Many, many shailas. The Shari Tshuva, that's what the Shari Tshuva does. Many shailas, all very interesting shailas with regard to what happened if a person sold the chometz and it didn't work out. So that's all because it's the I'm suggesting at least, because it's the Mata Ephraim. Mata Ephraim is Marich more than his brother Rabbi Chaim Modcha. So although at the beginning of the Mishnah Brura it says the Shari Tshuva is written by Rabbi Chaim Modcha, that's only till the end of Chelik Dalet. From then, Hilchos Pesach and onwards, it's actually written by the Shari Ephraim. Another very interesting point in the Mishnah Brura, which we picked up on, and as you look through the Mishnah Brura, you'll pick up a notice much more, is the chashivos and the significance he gives to the opinion of the Vilna Gaon. Now, the Chofetz Chaim lived in Radin, which actually is known as Plach Vilna, which means it's like a village of Vilna. It's about 30 miles from Vilna, and the Chofetz Chaim was very much mushpa from Vilna. Chofetz Chaim's father learnt in Vilna, lived in Vilna. Chofetz Chaim himself learnt in Vilna as a young boy. I think he had family members in Vilna. And he was very mushba from the shitta, from the Vilna Gaon, who was the great tzaddik and the Talmud Chacham of Vilna. So therefore, if you go through the Mishnah Brura, you'll see, whenever the Vilna Gaon disagrees with the other poskim, the Mishnah Brura at the end, after bringing all the other poskim, will say, Aval l'das hagra, such and such and such and such. According to the opinion of the Vilna Gaon, that loch is like this. And he will leave it like that. He won't ever be chaylik on the Vilna Gaon. I don't remember ever being chaylik on the Vilna Gaon. And he always finishes off, Aval l'das hagra. He brings the Vilna Gaon throughout. And he's not chaylik on him. Because for him, the Vilna Gaon was the final word. In fact, if you look in the Psicha to the Mishnah Brura, he writes, he describes that he's bringing from many Sforim, and he says, Over Prat Rabiahagra, Shehu Oiran Shed Yisrael, the Vilna Gaon's Pirish is the Biagra, is the light of Yisrael, the Yosid, and it's a peg. Shahakol Tolabi, everything depends on him. Uchadai Lachria Hadavar. The Vilna Gaon's word is the final word of the Mishnah Brura. And in fact, if it wouldn't have been for the fact that Mishnah Brura was taken by the Vilna Gaon Psokim, many of the Vilna Gaon Psokim would not be Niskabel so much in Klal Yisrael. The reason it's Niskabel so much in Klal Yisrael is because the Chofetz Chaim was a Vilna Yid, and therefore the Psokim are taken. In fact, when Rav Vozna came to speak in Gated once, the Einikul, the one who's now the Rav in Bnei Brak, he said that when he was, Rabbi Yosef Ben Yomin, I think it is, he said when he was learning with his Zayda, Shmuel Vozna, they used to learn the Sugya, and the Rav Vozna would say that you only considered to know the halacha when you can look at the Bi'ur HaGra, which is very terse and difficult, and understand, decipher the Bi'ur HaGra, that means you know the sugya properly. If you can go for the Vilna Gaon and understand it properly, that means you know the sugya well. That is the Shittas HaGra. Interestingly, as we know, at the same time as the Gra, was the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, was written by the Balatanya, Shneur Zalman of Liadi, who was the first, the Babita Rebbe. Now, of course, there was a sichsuch between the Hasidim and the Misnagdim at the very beginning, but the Chofetz Chaim is also very, very interesting how the Chofetz Chaim relates to the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. Very often he brings the psak of Shulchan Aruch HaRav, he calls him the Graz. And that's also interesting, just the very fact he's called the Graz. That means on the one hand you have the Gro, and on the other hand you have the Graz, to show that there's the Chashivas of both of them, and to show the Kavod of both of them. Now, although the Chofetz Chaim is happy to disagree with the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, he sometimes has riyas, he'll disagree with the Shulchan Aruch HaRav in the Bi'ah Halacha, when he'll disagree with him. However, it's very interesting to note, whenever he disagrees with the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, he never does so by name. That means he will say, Ro'isi be'echod mino achroinim, who says such and such and such and such, but I've got riyas and I feel it's correct. If he's being chaylik on anyone else, he'll be happy to say who he's chaylik with. But when he's chaylik on the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, Shem Kvoidei the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, maybe not to involve any concerns of this because of the as we said before, the Misnagdim, the Chassidim, etc. He never says clearly, I'm disagreeing with Shulchan Aruch HaRav. He always says, Echad min achroinim. That comes out a few times, just for a few examples. One example is, Shulchan Aruch HaRav's got kula, you're allowed to tear into skin or into paper. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav holds the only issue of tearing is only when it's something which is weaved. But something which is just a one item, like skin, there's no issue to tear. And the Shimon Simon Shin Mem, Chofetz Chaim disagrees with it. But again, he says, I saw in one of the Achronim who say this big Chiddush, and then he disagrees, but he won't tell you who the Achron is. You have to go and find out yourself that Achron is Shulchan Aruch HaRav. Well, now that we know that Shulchan Aruch HaRav, whenever he says Echron Achronim, and he disagrees, it's a Shulchan Aruch HaRav. Another example is in Hilchus Hadassim, a very interesting Shaila. If you have a Hadass, the halacha is you have a Hadass which has got most of the leaves, it's kosher. Now most of the leaves can either be, let's say you have a height of 12 little points at which the leaves come out. Each point has got three leaves. So either you can have, let's say, 7 out of 12, you've got rove of the leaves. Or you can have rove of the leaves, means instead of having 3 coming out at each point, you've only got 2 coming out at each point. Both of those are kosher, either rove of height or rove of each can, each point is kosher. The Bialoch has got a sofik, what would be the din if you have a Hadass that's got rove of the height, but even the rove of the height are not complete. You've only got rove of each one of the canim. That means, let's say, for example, you have 12 points. So altogether, you should have 36 leaves. The top 5 canim are out. They haven't got any leaves at all. You're missing 15. And even the bottom 7 each only have 2. So therefore, you're missing another 7. So 15 plus 7 is 22. So altogether, you've only got, out of 36, you've only got 14 leaves. So although you've got rove of rove, but you haven't actually got rove of the number of leaves. So Shulchan Aruch HaRav says that's okay. And then again, the Bi'alocha says, Ro'isi v'echad min achroinim, so one of the achroinim says it's okay. And then he says, well, he feels it's not right. It can't be kosher, because at the end of the day, you've only got a minority of leaves.
Does the Mishnah Berurah, in the Chofetz Chaim, only refer to that
lotion,
just to the Graz, or to anybody else?
The what, again?
When he says echad
achroinim,
is he referring to a specific person, or had there been others?
No, whenever he says, I've seen echad min achroinim, and then he disagrees, you can take it for granted that that's the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. You see the gathers the whole time. Right. I want to share another interesting point. There's one interesting Simon Shin Chav Ches, which, when one learns Simon Shin Chav Ches, one comes up with stirahs between that Simon and various other simonim. I haven't got time to be marich. One Indian in Simon Shin Chav Ches, there's a stirah between Simon Shin Chav Ches and Simon Shin Yud Ches. If a goy cooks food on Shabbos, can it be eaten after Shabbos? Simon Shin Chav Ches, he says it can't. And in Simon Shin Yud Ches, the Mishnah Berurah says it can. Another distinction you find is a machine kofres with regard to if a person has a ratia, a type of bandage on his hand, and it falls on the floor, he's not allowed to put it back on Shabbos. And Simon Shin Chof Ches, he says there's no issa of refuah by doing that. And Simon Shin Gimel, he says an issa of refuah and doing that because you're putting the medication back is an issa of refuah. And there's other steers also in Simon Shin Chof Ches. Now, the interesting thing is that the Chofetz Chaim's son, when he's writing about how his father wrote the Sefer Mishneh Berurah, he says there were certain simonim that my father did manage to write and I wrote instead. And one of them is Simon Shin Chof Ches. So therefore, this answers quite a number of difficulties in Simon Shin Chof Ches. And again, if you learn Simon Shin Chof Ches, Simon Shin Chof Ches is about Hilchos Refuah B'Shabbos. If you learn Simon Shin Chof Ches, you can actually see, again, the style is different. There's many, many more sifkotans, many more points in Simon Shin Chof Ches than the Mishneh Berurah would normally have in his style. The style is slightly different. The Pella is, I don't understand, but the Chazon Ish is said to have said, that he can't believe that the Mishneh Berurah didn't write everything in the Mishneh Berurah. It wasn't written by the Chofetz Chaim himself, and he can't accept that the Chofetz Chaim's son wrote anything in the Mishneh Berurah which was not written by the Chofetz Chaim. But the Chofetz Chaim's son himself, Barry Lev, the older son of the Chofetz Chaim, eventually became the Rav in Radin, says this was the case, so I don't know how one can argue with this. Another interesting point is in Simon Shin Lamed Beis, the Chofetz Chaim, so there's a very, very long Bi'ah Halacha, about animals on Shabbos. And he finishes off that Kol Zeh was Nichtav. This whole piece was written by my son Avron, who unfortunately passed away when he was 23. And he writes, he was passed away on the 20th of Kislev, 1892. So this Bialocha and Simon Shin Amad Beis was written by, again, by the son, a different son, the son of Avron, son of the Chofetz Chaim. Okay. I want to just move on a little bit quicker. There's a few more horrors on the general Sefer the Chofetz Chaim. There's an interesting halacha in Simon Tov Pei Tes with regard to Sfira Sa'oimer. I don't have it here. Anyway, Sfira Sa'oimer discusses if ladies should count Sfira Sa'oimer. And the Chofetz Chaim there says that ladies shouldn't count because for sure they're going to forget one day. You all know this. And also, they often don't even know how to count. That sounds a bit funny, they don't know how to count. We should know, it's only a recent thing, girls' education, and they didn't know how to count. And so therefore the Chofetz Chaim says that brings Smogon Avram. Fata Yiti Yemechad is brought from Shulchan Shleima. Shulchan Shleima is not Shleima Zalman Orbach. It's an earlier Shulchan Shleima, the Rav of Mir. And he writes this. Well, the problem is if you look at the Shulchan Shleima itself adds in the following words that she shouldn't count because with Fata Yiti Yemechad she's definitely going to make a mistake on one day. V'loy Yoidim Hadin. Three very important words. And they won't know the din. Meaning, it's not just they shouldn't start counting because they won't finish, but they won't know that if you made a mistake, you can continue counting, but mustn't count with a bracha. So there's a nafka minna between the way the Mishneh Berurah brings down the Shulchan Shleima and what the Shulchan Shleima himself actually says. Nafka minna would be for somebody, let's say, who has, he knows he's going to have a hospital issue during the, he has to be hospitalized during the Omer, should he start counting? Although he knows he won't be able to finish, or not. The way the Mishneh Berurah brings it down, he won't be able to continue, so therefore he shouldn't start. But the way the Shulchan Shleima writes it, he can begin, because he does know the din, that as soon as he can't continue to count, he'll count without a bracha. So the Asur Chaim Kanievsky, how do we paskin, like the Shulchan Mishneh Berurah, or like the source of the Mishneh Berurah, which is the Shulchan Shleima? And Rav Chaim said we paskin like the Mishneh Berurah. The way the Mishneh Berurah decided to leave out those words of Shulchan Shleima, that means the psak is like the way the Mishneh Berurah brings it down, not like the Shulchan Shleima. I want to just finish off, because time is ticking by, with a very interesting point, which we've been noting. Whenever we learn the Mishneh Berurah, you'll find the Chofetz Chaim never brings a Heintiger by name. A Heintiger means somebody who lived at that time. I mean, there were great Rosh Yeshivas in Radin. There was Rav Moshe Landinsky, there was Rav Naftali Trop, he often spoke to other Gedolei Yisrael, Rav Chaim Brisker. None of them are brought in the Mishneh Berurah. None of them. He only brings Sforim, which have already been printed, even though the Baal Chabah was alive at that time. If it's a printed safe, he would bring it. The Kitta Shulchan Aruch he brings, the Netziv he brings, the Chevel Yosef he brings. If it's printed, he would bring it, but he'd never bring somebody who's still alive. At the time of writing, he wouldn't bring it him by name. Sometimes he says, I heard from one of the great Gedolim, but he wouldn't say by name who it is. There's only one exception, and that is in Simon Tov Kuf Pei Hei, Hilchos Rosh Hashanah. It says there, as we all know, a person blows the shofar on the right-hand side, and various reasons are given. One reason given is because we know it says Hasatan Omid Al Yemini LeSitni, and therefore we try to attack the Satan on the right-hand side. Another reason is because it's an amazing reason. The Magen Avraham says that the tefillin are a shmira on the left-hand side, and therefore the right-hand side is the where we have the shofar, which is a pele, because the person not even wearing tefillin on Rosh Hashanah. We see that we all yid put tefillin on. We have the shmira of tefillin throughout the day and throughout the times even when we're not wearing tefillin. Remarkable. And then he brings from the Bihalocha, for Shamati Tam. I've got. I was going to say that. I don't know how he says it. Here. He says, I also heard a beautiful reason from Meir Simcha HaKoyin, which is obviously the Meshech Chachma. He says, based on the pasuk, it says, by Gidon of Yad Yeminim HaSheforos L'Skoya Boy. Interesting. The only time in the Mishnah Berurah he quotes somebody, a contemporary, is here in the Bialocha, and he's not even quoting a halacha, he's just quoting a remez for why we blow shofar on the right-hand side. And here it's very out of character. Very out of character. So there are those that say, I've seen this actually, that there was a sichsuch, there was a point of debate, more than a debate, the machlokes, let's be frank, between the Chofetz Chaim and the Or Sameach, among others, about whether, I think machlokes was about whether Rabbonim should fulfill the Russian government's criteria for having to know Russian, having to speak Russian, and have a degree in order to be Rabbonim. Rabbi Simcha said, yeah, it's okay, and the Chofetz Chaim said very strongly they should not accept it. Rav is a Rav, he doesn't have to learn Russian. So, because of the sichsuch that there was between them, therefore the Chofetz Chaim wanted to write the name, bring Meir Simcha by name in his Sefer, so here he brings it in Simon Tov Kuf Pei Hei. He doesn't bring a halacha from him, he just brings a remez. That's what they say. The problem is that if you check up historically, this Chofetz Chaim was finished writing his Sefer on the last page of the Mishnah Berurah. He writes that he finished writing his Sefer the 19th of Cheshvan, 1907, Tof Reish Samach Zayin. This meeting, which they had this discussion, took place in Pressburg in Adar Tof Reish Ayin, which is 1910, which is 3 years later. So either the Chofetz Chaim was a Novi and he knew what was going to happen, or there's some other reason why the Chofetz Chaim quotes Rameir Simcha by name. Al Kaponim, Rameir Simcha is the only person quoted by name. I want to just finish off. Just to summarize some of the points we've said, we spoke about the Chaim Kanievsky's test on the Mishnah Berurah, which was where the Chofetz Chaim speaks about, Mishnah Berurah speaks about the importance of not speaking Lashon Hara, the way he looked at his Sefer like, Ein Masha Kosav B'Sefer Chofetz Chaim, as if he doesn't even, not even the author of the Sefer. We spoke about the Be'er Hativ and the importance of having this Be'er Hativ on the page, the Shari Tshuva, which originally was written by the Chaim Motcha and then was completed by his brother, the Mat Ephraim. We spoke about how the effect of the Vilna Gaon, how strongly the Psokim Vilna Gaon have an effect on the Mishnah Berurah. We spoke about how he brings the Shulchan Aruch Rav as Echad Min Acharon. He won't be Chaylik directly. He only call him Echad Min Acharon, and then he'll disagree with him. He won't disagree with him by name. We also spoke about the fact that Simon Shinchov Ches was written by a son of the Chofetz Chaim, and this Chaim Kanievsky Paskin, we Paskin had the Mishnah Berurah. Paskin is not the way the Mishnah Berurah is, not the person from whom the Mishnah Berurah is quoted. I want to just, and then we just finished off here with this interesting thing. He never brings a Heintiger by name, only this once by Rameir Simcha, Meshe Chochma from Davinsk. I want to just finish off. A few days ago, I was speaking to somebody, and they said that that their father-in-law spoke to a Yid who used to live in Stafford Hill called Rebbe Lezer, David Friedman, the Machnav Kabel's Rav in Stafford Hill. I don't know if you remember him. I think he was Nifta relatively recently, and he said that when he heard that Rav Kofnas lived in Manchester and he was the last surviving Talmud of the Chofetz Chaim, he decided, I'm going to visit him and see what he tells me about the Chofetz Chaim. So he took the day out. Sorry. He took the time out, took the day out. This Rav, Rabbi Lezer David Friedman, he went to Manchester and he went to visit Rabbi Kofnas. I'd never heard this before. And Rabbi Kofner said, come, sit down, I'll speak to you. And he said, I want to tell you, by the Chofetz Chaim, Olam Hazeh wasn't this world, and Olam Haba was the next world. He said, can you see the door over there? By the Chofetz Chaim, Olam Hazeh was here, and Olam Haba was the other side of the door. Thank you very much for inviting me once again.